Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is Dr. Bob Taylor, pastor of Colonial Baptist Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. The title of his message is Four Lessons from the Lion's Den. The text is from the book of Daniel, chapter 6.
Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Daniel. Book of Daniel, chapter number 6. Book of Daniel, chapter 6. I know you hear it often, but I appreciate so much the opportunity and the privilege of speaking here in chapel. It's a great, great honor. I also had a wonderful thrill last night. I went with Dr. McAllister to prayer meeting over at Community Baptist Church. The Africa team was there. Dr. Abrams and his wife were taking a group of young people to Africa this summer. And several mission teams, I understand, are going out from the university this year. And I was especially impressed with the testimonies. One young man, and I cannot recall his name, is a pre-med major. And he mentioned something that really kind of impressed my heart. He said, you know, in pre-med, you could have money, cars, houses, kind of the American dream. But then he asked this question, what are those things in the light of eternity? And I thought to myself, that young man has his priorities right. Because you see, so many young people today, they're only looking at the next 40 or 50 years, gaining a lot of money, gaining a lot of wealth, and then you die. But there's eternity after that. And I'm glad this young man, and I'm probably the entire team, has an eternal view of life. What a great way to look at your life and what you're going to do with your life. So thank you for blessing my heart, Africa team. I enjoyed being there, enjoyed being in prayer meeting over at Community Baptist Church. Now, you have your Bible in the book of Daniel, chapter number 6. It's the story that all of you have heard since you were little kids. It's the story of Daniel and the Den of Lions. And sometimes we hear these stories and we think, well, what can I learn from this? I've heard that story. I saw it on flannel graph. I saw it on video. I know that story of Daniel and the Den of Lions. But let's look at it today, and I hope God will give us maybe a fresh look at lessons from the lion's den. Beginning in verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and to the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion or fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I pray now you'd open our hearts, help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. May He speak to our hearts today. May we determine that in these days that we will truly stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and be all that we ought to be for Him. Bless this time together, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. During the days of Nero, there was fierce persecution against Christians. Some of you know that thousands and thousands of Christians died. The streets at night were ghastly. Human beings were soaked in oil and their bodies used as torches to line the streets of Rome. That's the setting of a novel called Quo Vadis. In this novel, Peter is fleeing the persecution. There's a little band of Christians with Peter. And as Peter and this little band of Christians are running from Rome to avoid the persecution, he meets Jesus. Now, this is a story. And Jesus asks the question, Quo Vadis, which is, where are you going? Well, Peter asks Jesus the same question, where are you going? And Jesus says, I'm going back to Rome to be crucified again. My disciple Peter has turned his back And Peter then answers in the novel, "Not so, Lord. I will go back and gladly die for thee." And according to tradition, Peter was nailed upside down on a cross. He said, "I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord." That's a story, tradition. But there are hundreds and hundreds of stories down through church history of people who've been willing to die for the cause of Christ. Now, for every death, there are wonderful deliverances. God wonderfully delivers His people. Stephen is stoned, but Peter is delivered. Now, in this text, Daniel is delivered miraculously and wonderfully. And it's a great testimony. Darius is the new king on the block. Just in the chapter before this, chapter 5, was the story of the handwriting on the wall. And King Belteshazzar is dethroned, and Darius becomes the king. The king chooses 120 men to oversee his kingdom. Now, his kingdom was bigger than the United States of America. A huge kingdom. So he has 120 men. These 120 men answer to three men, and one of those three is Daniel, and all of them answer to him. The Bible says Daniel had an excellent spirit. Did you see that in verse 3? Daniel had an excellent spirit. Now, that word means he was smart. He was brilliant. God had given Daniel great wisdom. But because of that, he was immediately hated. I like verse 4. It says, "They sought to find occasion against Daniel, but they could not find any." They were determined to get Daniel. He was a foreigner. He was a Jew among these people. He was honest. And they hated Daniel. What did they do? You think they tapped his phone? You think they intercepted his email? You think they went through his trash can? You think somebody was hired to tail Daniel? You know, it's amazing that Daniel served 70 years in a heathen court. And he lived for God. We highlight one day and one night. But I submit to you, it was harder for Daniel to live for God those 70 years than it was the one night in the den of lions. Well, they realized the only way they're going to get a hold of Daniel, the only way they're going to indict Daniel, is to get him in regard to his religion. Verse number 5. The men said, "We shall not find occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." I hope that's true of you. That's the way all Christians ought to live. Philippians 2:15, God says you're to be blameless and harmless, without rebuke, in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. And God is looking for people who will live for Him. And the only thing that people can find against you is the fact that you are a believer. You're a Christian. So they hatch a very subtle plot. They go to the king and flatter the king. And they say, "King, we'd like to have a rule instituted that nobody for 1 month can ask anybody can pray except they pray to you. You're going to be king for a month." And the king was flattered and he fell for the trap. Verse 9. "Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree." Now the king was caught. And the king was trapped. We tend to highlight Daniel in the story, and Daniel certainly deserves it. But you know, Darius also deserves being highlighted, because God's going to use him in a great way. But you know, the interesting thing is Daniel didn't change. Look in verse 10, would you, in your Bible? "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house, and his window being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime," or as he had done for 70 years. Daniel did what he had been doing for 70 years. Daniel was persistent and Daniel was consistent, and that was his reputation. And a law passed for the king did not take precedent over a law of God. By the way, let me ask you a question. If a law were passed in the United States of America that nobody could pray, would that affect you? Would that have any bearing upon your life? You know, there are multiplied thousands of Christians. If a law were passed, you cannot read your Bible and you cannot pray, a lot of folks, it wouldn't even bother them. They'd just go on like they've always gone. Well, these men are watching. They have spies out, and they catch Daniel. Verse number 14. The king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. The men come to the king and say, King, remember this law? The law of the Medes and Persians. Now, the law of the Medes and Persians was very interesting. You could be convicted, sentenced, and punished the same day. They didn't prolong things. They didn't have lawyers that could stretch it out year after year after year. When a law was broken, you were sentenced, you were executed the very same day. And so the law is passed, and Daniel breaks the law because he prays to God. And Daniel is going to have to go to the lion's den. Now, would you look in verse 16? Here's the passage. Here's the key verse. Then the king commanded and brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now, when I was a kid growing up in Sunday school, do you remember flannel graph or video of Daniel and the lions? Do you remember those? And almost invariably, there are two or three lions, right? There's the den of lions. Daniel's cast into the den of lions, and there are two or three lions. Now, let me fast forward you over to verse 24. Look in verse 24. The king commanded, they brought the men which had accused Daniel. All right, how many men had accused Daniel? 120. 120 men. And they cast into the den of lions them, 120 men, and their children and their wives. Over 300 people were cast into the den of lions. Now, how many lions does it take to eat 300 people? I don't know, but it takes a lot. And what did God do? God put an invisible barrier around Daniel. Did He put angels with flaming swords? The Bible doesn't tell us. But God took care of Daniel. Well, the king cannot sleep that night. In verse 18, the king went to his palace. He passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought to him. And his sleep went from him. The king was upset. His own vanity had caused the problem. And now he can't sleep. He gets up early in the morning. He runs down to the den of lions, expecting to find some torn clothes and a little bit of blood and of some bones. And he cries in verse 20. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice and said, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lion's den? Can you imagine the king of this vast universe leaning over a pit and calling out and not even expecting an answer? Can you imagine his reaction when he heard a voice? And Daniel answered in verse number 22. Daniel said, My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me. You know what you would have said? You know what I would have said? Get me out of here. Send a rope. Send somebody. I want out of here. But Daniel doesn't even talk about getting out. Daniel's voice is music to the king's ear. Imagine the joy. Imagine the thrill. God sent his angel. By the way, I think that refers back to when the angel of God took care of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, the king was glad. He just was thrilled at what God had done. And then you have a little picture of paganism in verse 24. We read it once before, but the king, who's a heathen king, he has the men, their children, and their wives thrown to the lions. And the Bible says the lion had mastery of their pieces before they ever got to the bottom of the den. Now, that's the story. You heard the story. We've gone through it. Now, I want to give you four lessons from the lion's den. Four lessons from the lion's den. The first one is the probability of the lion's den. The nature of our faith makes us candidates for the lion's den. You know, of course, we are out of step with the world. You know that? Bob Jones University is out of step with the world, praise the Lord. As you were saying the creed at the beginning of the chapel today, my heart thrilled. I said that creed years and years and years and years ago. But praise God for it. Fundamentalism is out of step with the world. If you live for Christ, you are going to be out of step with the world. And testing is a part of developing your character. Daniel faced the den of lions, and Daniel came through in flying colors. What could Daniel have done? Well, he could have compromised. He could have capitulated. He could have said, well, I'll just do it in secret. But Daniel was not that kind of man. Young people, there is a powerful force that is in our American culture today. And that powerful force says the Church of Jesus Christ must change if it's going to reach men in the 21st century. Now, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that the sinner must change. The Bible uses the word like repentance. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Not old things are adopted, but old things are passed away. But there's a dangerous truth, and it probably has gotten in some of your churches. And it's called the seeker-sensitive movement. And it goes like this. If the church today is going to reach 21st century people, the church has got to be relevant. The church has got to be attractive. And so we must use some marketing techniques. We must use high-tech entertainment. We must do away with the old-fashioned songs like the old rugged cross and a fountain filled with blood. And those will turn people off. And our churches have to be inviting. We've got to spice things up. We've got to put some life. But at the very heart of it, the gospel is removed. Sin, judgment, the holiness of God, obedience to the Bible, you'll never hear that. Instead, the message are all horizontal relationship. Success in the business world. How to have a satisfying life. They're sort of like reading Reader's Digest warm, fuzzy stories. How to cope in this world. But they omit the hard teachings of the Bible. Sacrifice. Repentance. The cost of serving Jesus Christ. And invariably, these churches get into an entertainment mode. And they are going to entertain people. And then there come skits and comedy and light shows and soft rock and hard rock. And God is no longer the center of the church. Instead, it's fleshly desires. Now, all of that relates back to Daniel. Daniel was out of step with his generation. When you leave this university, you are going to be out of step with this world. You might as well face it. We are out of step and proud of it. Don't be ashamed to be out of step of the culture of America. The probability of the lion's den, it's coming. You might as well get ready for it. Now, the second thought is this. Not only the probability of the lion's den, notice the promise for the lion's den. The promise for the lion's den. Now, Daniel was kept from the lion's den, and he was kept in the midst of the lion's den. God has not promised to keep us from difficulty. God has not given us carte blanche and said, you be my Christian and you be my servant, and I will take care of you. But the Bible does say God will care for you. Psalm 34 and 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that love him. Psalm 97, 10, he preserveth the soul of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. 2 Chronicles 16, 9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. And God gives us his promise that even in the midst of the lion's den, God cares for his people. Aren't you glad? Now, a third lesson. First one, the probability of the lion's den. The second, the promise of the lion's den. Number three, the purpose of the lion's den. Now, this really thrills my heart. We might think, well, now, if God is so good, God is so powerful, and God is so great, why does God allow things like this to happen to Daniel? Daniel was serving God for 70 years. He served God. Why would God let this happen to Daniel? Well, God took this story and took this event, and God used this for His glory. Look in your Bibles now in chapter 6, and let's start in verse 26. 6:26. The king says, "I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel." Now, this man served a heathen god, but he said, "Fear and tremble before the God of Daniel, for He is the living God and steadfast forever, and His kingdom which shall not be destroyed, and His dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions?" Can you imagine what the newspapers were like in this city for the next several days? Can you imagine what USA Today was like that day? Or Babylonia USA or whatever it was. Can you imagine what it was like? I mean, all that day on the news and on the TV and in the newspapers, there was talk about this man Daniel who spent the night in the lion's den and came out alive. And then they threw all the princes in and they were killed before they hit the floor. God got the glory. God got the glory. And all throughout Daniel's kingdom, they were talking about this great God and how powerful this God was. Daniel became the message. Daniel and his testimony of standing for God became the message that God used. Somebody is watching you. I never realized the importance of that until later in my life when I began to talk to some individuals who'd been watching my life. I had no idea they were watching Bob Taylor. But they were. Now, I didn't feel I was worthy of being watched, but they were watching me. And somebody is watching you. Somebody back at your home church. Somebody in your dorm room. Somebody on your hall. Somebody is watching you. And you may not know for years. You may not know until eternity what kind of life message you have had. But Daniel and his life became a testimony to an entire kingdom. Let me show you one more thought here. The probability of the lion's den, it's coming. The promise for the lion's den, God will take care of you. The purpose of the lion's den, the glory of God now. The prosperity of the lion's den. And this is wonderful too. Look in verse 28. "So this Daniel," what's the next word? "Prospered." Prospered. Now, what do we mean by prospered? Does it mean Daniel drove a BMW? Does it mean he lived in a two-story house? Does it mean he had a six-figure income? No, that's not what it means, and you know that. Prosperity is a very relative thing in this world. Daniel prospered in the eyes of God. You see, Daniel was purified. Now, when something is purified, it is of greater value. I have a ring here that is a gold ring. It has a gold coin in it. And my wife gave it to me for a 35th anniversary. Now, before it was a gold coin, it was gold ore. Gold ore is purified, the dross is removed, and it is of greater value as a coin than it is a piece of nugget. So likewise, you will be of greater value to God when you go through the time of purification. God put Daniel in the furnace. God put Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel was purified, and Daniel was of greater value to God. Are you going to be of any value to God when you leave this school? Will your life matter? Will you be of any value to God? Daniel prospered. Daniel served four kings. Nebuchadnezzar, that's the king that started the captivity. Then Belshazzar, that's the one who saw the handwriting on the wall. Then Darius, and later Cyrus. So there were four kings: Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus. Now, it was under Cyrus that the children of Israel were allowed to go out of captivity and back to the promised land, under Ezra and Nehemiah. And God softened the heart of a heathen king through the testimony of one single man. One man. One man who determined he would stand for God. And God honored him, and God blessed him, and God used him in an unbelievable way. I think you would take the life of Daniel and you can sum it up in one verse. Proverbs 16:9. Here's the verse. When a man's way please the Lord, he, God, maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. When a man's ways please the Lord. Did Daniel please God? Yes, he did. So what did God do? God took this man, Daniel, and he made him a testimony to an entire kingdom. One man who made a difference. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a great testimony is the life of Daniel. What a great testimony to the power of God and to a man who would stand for Jesus Christ and his Lord. God, give us young people like that. Raise up out of this university young men and young women who will determine to stand for God no matter the cost. And then, God, honor their testimony and use them in a powerful way. Our nation is in such desperate need of men and women who will stand for God. And may it be true of the graduates of this school that they're that kind of people.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Bob Taylor, pastor of Colonial Baptist Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.